As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project,
where we discuss all things regarding renovation projects with either the FHA 203K Homestyle or a number of other renovation products that are out there in the market. If you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free, and ask your renovation questions. While most 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time you may find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side of the equation that understands the 203K program. So if you have a problem with your product or your project and you're just not going where you think it should go, feel free to give us a call. We rarely charge for this service. We will give you solutions that you can take charge of the project and get it back on track all by yourself at no cost to you. Only if you ask us to do it for you do we get involved. And there is a fee if we do that. So, but we're happy to help anyone that's in the process. So if you're a consultant and you're having problems with a 203K and you just need someone to talk to, feel free to call us. You're a homeowner, same thing. Give us a call. Let's find out what we can do to help you get it back on track. We love the program so much. We just don't want to see it going south. So if yours is going south, give us a call and we'll see if we can help you put it back on track and get you back up and running again. If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, go to one of our websites, 203konline.com, or go to 203k911.com and submit a ticket there so we can figure out exactly what you need to get your project back on track. So let's get on with the show. How do I know which renovation loan is best for my situation? That's always a good question. A homeowner comes in and says, you know, I know I need a renovation loan, but which one do I need? How do I know which one to pick from? Do I want an FHA 203K that carries private mortgage insurance? Or do I have a bigger down payment or showing more equity where I can get by with a Fannie Mae home style? That also includes a little better credit rating. So if you've got excellent credit and you've got 20% or more equity or down payment, then Fannie Mae is probably your best choice. Talk to your loan officer. You know, this is a team sport and we like to leave that kind of stuff up to the lending arm of this team. They know all about it. I had one the other day where it looked to me like it should be a home style, but everything was coming through as 203K. So I contacted the loan officer, and he said, yeah, the credit just isn't quite good enough to get them into the Fannie Mae product, so we had to go with the FHA product instead. So, you know, you've got a team of people looking out for your best interests. So be good and be aware of what's going on there and feel free to ask the questions. As referrals are a big part of our business, like it is in everybody's business. The other day I got a call from a new consultant in the Fort Lauderdale area who had two loan referrals and didn't clearly understand how to find a lender. Guys and gal loan officers out there, if you are a 203K lender, you would be good to introduce yourself to the consultants. The consultant list is easy to find on the HUD list, or give us a call and we'll tell you what you need to know. But introduce yourself to those consultants. Let them know that you're a loan officer and you can get those loans closed in X number of days. If you're going to call them and say, hey, I can close these in 60 days, don't waste your time. If you can't close these in 30 days, something's wrong. Your lender, your company may tell you to tell everybody 30 to 45 days, and that's certainly one attack. And then if you close it in 28 days, you look like King Kong. So under-promise and over-provide, no? Anyway, let's stay on track with that and realize that your consultants do get loan requests periodically. And if you're not tied in with a few consultants, you're going to miss out on some of those. So if you're a lender anywhere in the country, you need to let us know. It's reciprocal. We expect you to throw some work our way as well. I had a friend not too long ago who was happy with his consultant, didn't want to change, didn't see any reason to change. I said, well, we do business a little differently, and we shared with him the knowledge we do it differently, but I didn't tell him what we did differently. What we did differently was 3 days after he told me we weren't going to do business, I provided a loan for him. I said, here's a client that needs a lender. I'm not giving it to your consultant. However, I will be the consultant. 3 days more went by, and I did it again. And we started doing business on a regular basis after that. We refer anywhere from 12 to 20 loans a month all over the country. And I would guess that most consultants do that as well. So if you don't have a bunch of consultants on your list, you might want to call and introduce yourself. Send them a card. Become their friend so that you can get on their referral list. Give them a job now and then. We never know where the next one will be coming from. The latest ones this month were Texas, Utah, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, and Florida. Not much there on the West Coast. Let's see. I had a consultant question come in this week. We have a potential new client who's reached out to us. He's purchasing a home and is doing a limited 203K. We have not run into what he is wanting to do. It's a purchase, and the construction's about $30,000 to $35,000. He would like to use a handful of contractors, a painting guy, exteriors, landscaping, bathroom guy, and so forth, and be able to be in charge of firing, hiring, and payouts, as he puts it. Is there a limit of the number of contractors he can have with the limited 203K? And what would you suggest is the best way to handle this? Your advice is appreciated. Well, according to the guideline, he can use up to 5 trade contractors, a painter, a plumber, electrician, HVAC guy, a roofer, and so forth. 5 of them. If it's more than that, he's going to have trouble. He's going to need a general. Our 203K consulting software is set up for that. So if you get hired on a limited 203K and you want to put in more than one contractor, you can do that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. First, you need to know what the contingency reserve amount is for that particular lender. So you have to know who the lender is going to be. And if you don't already know what their contingency reserve requirement is, then you need to find that out. Many lenders on a limited 203K require a 20% contingency, which limits the amount of work to about $27,200 in actual work. Then you add the contingency at 20% and your costs and fees for another $800. And there you go. You're up to $35,000. If, in fact, you start off at $35,000 with a contractor's bid, it's now a full or standard 203K. The guideline says that once it trips over, it's like a check valve. There's no going back. So if your contractor has worked diligently to get his bid down to $35,000, you just blew it. It's now a standard 203K. Does that make sense? Because you have to put a contingency reserve. If it's 10%, that's $3,500. So this thing is, instead of being a $35,000, is now $38,500. Then you've got your costs and fees, which is another $800. So you're at $39,300. So it's important that you understand the programs that you're dealing with. And if you're a consultant and you don't understand the limited 203K, it's understandable. One of the biggest mistakes I think I'd made was making a limited 203K in the first place. They represent approximately 98% of the problem 203Ks in the business. Why? Because there's no consultant. There's no coach telling people what they can and can't do. So it's very important to understand the product that you have and how it works. So, wow, today is just moving right along. With our software, if you configure it for a limited 203K, it'll allow you to add up to 5 contractors and choose each one of them. And when you go to write the specification of repairs, there will be drop-down box so you can select which contractor is going to do which line item. If there is no contractor selected for a particular line item, then what you will have is it'll say no requirement for all of them. Okay, so that's a good thing. So our software does the job for you if you will allow it to do so. Okay, we're coming up on our first break. We appreciate you hanging in there. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free, and be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
You're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Dunn. If you want to be part of the show, love my renovation project, call us at 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. Your questions make the program more interesting, so give us a call. Does every project go smoothly? You know, we're out there, we're doing this, we're doing lots of seminars here and there. And people ask us, gosh, you guys got this down so good, does every project go smoothly? Well, the big answer to that, the short answer is no, certainly not. We have one right now where the contractor is on his third extension and constantly has issues that aren't getting resolved. The project is an excellent example of the supply you purchase multi-unit property and you always take it vacant. This particular client didn't take the units vacant. And here it is, 11 months down the road, can't do the work on the vacant unit or the occupied unit because the tenant hasn't moved out and doesn't plan to. Now she's got to get a go to court and work on getting them out. It's not a pleasant thing. So when you're buying units, I recommend that you take them vacant. Make it part of your contract, purchase contract. We had another deal. That's not a fun thing, by the way. When borrowers add work items to the scope, they are supposed to, by contract, let the consultant know, let the lender know, and get prior approval, get a bid on that. We need to know exactly where it's going in, how much it's going to cost, what it is. We have a very unhappy borrower right now because they ignored all of that. The contractor knew better. He's been doing 203 case for a while, and I'm just thoroughly upset with them because they decided to put an on-demand water heater, which was outside our scope of work, and they installed it inside the kitchen of the unit the borrower is going to live in. So you've got this monstrosity hanging on the wall in the kitchen. They lost cupboard space. And it's across the aisle from the main cabinets. Where could it have been installed in a more reasonable location? It could have been installed outside on the wall, outside the kitchen sink. And all the hookups were right there under the kitchen sink. They could have tied it in to the entire system right there. But that's what you get when you don't listen or you don't read the contracts that you sign. We also, in our contracts now, in our scope of work, line item 35, we've added a statement that says that the contractor and homeowner do not have the right and cannot make changes to the scope of work. The borrower signs it in at least two other places, and yet, how does this happen? We don't get it. You know, we do everything we can to let everybody know that you're not making changes to the scope without it going through the lender and your consultant. Next question that came in is, what is the difference between a 203K, which is an FHA program, and the home style mortgage, renovation mortgage program? Well, the difference for a consultant is the reporting of your findings. Well, you still need to make an inspection of the house, of the property. You don't have to reduce it to writing on a home style. On an FHA 203K, you're supposed to create a compliance inspection report, which is 35 line items. Talk about what you saw, what condition it was when you saw it. But with the home style, you can pretty much do any repair you want. You don't have to do every possible repair that might be needed. You still have to do health and safety. While the FHA has no luxury items allowed, you can add a swimming pool, an outdoor kitchen, patios with the home style. The FHA 203K is an owner-occupant product. In other words, if you're doing a 203K, you're going to live in that house. The Fannie Mae product is designed for second homes, investors. If you want to flip houses, that's certainly an option for you. Now, let's see. Excuse me. And the biggest difference, I think, is the PMI. While Homestyle can have PMI, it can be less PMI than a FHA. What was that question from the audience? Ah, PMI, private mortgage insurance. So if you're dealing with FHA, you're going to have private mortgage insurance. That insures the lender of any losses if you don't follow through with this project. It insures HUD. So with the home style, if you have 20% down or 20% equity, you do not have that PMI, and that could be, depending on the price, it runs about 0.85% of your monthly payment. So if your mortgage, if your mortgage amount is going to be $600,000, 0.85 is going to be about $500 a month that you pay in insurance. So $500 a month can be like having another unit. So you definitely want to be sure and analyze your PMI and your whole situation. I've had people put down, I just want to put down the lowest possible amount down, and I just want to do $30,000 worth of work. But in reality, I've got my other house sold, and I'm going to take $150,000 I'm going to put into this house and do a whole bunch more work. Well, that is bad thinking. If they took that $150,000 and put it down on their house, they could get into a, probably get into a home-style mortgage, reduce their monthly payment by $500 a month, and utilize that money much more effectively by counting it as part of your contingency reserve. If it's unused at the end of the process, you get it back. Contingency reserve, if it's borrowed, must be paid down on the mortgage. But if you put it up in cash, then you could actually get it back in a check at the end of the process. Had a very interesting, I thought, a very interesting call the other day. House did not need work. A friend of mine said, I bought this house. It's just been renovated. What should I ask for when I do that? Well, a home inspector can only see what's available to see and not what may have been covered up during the renovation. So, I mean, that just makes common sense. I would suggest asking for permits. I want to know what permits were taken out for this recent repairs. And in many cases, you can go to the building inspection department and obtain what they call a permit history. There may be a nominal fee for that. I would think $10 to $25 would be fair. Some just charge 10 cents a copy for how many pages it might be. And it'll show you every permit that's ever been taken out on a house. We've had several cases where there's obviously work done to the house. The public record says it's an 800 square foot house and it's clearly 1600 square feet. So getting that permit history, you can find out if any of that was permitted. The fun part that we ran into a few times was permits were not even used until about 1952 to 1954 in California, where we were based at the time. And when we find out that there have been no permits taken out on this ever, then you have to look at the quality of the construction, the size of the house. If you can show beyond reasonable doubt that those improvements were made prior to permits being required, and they're grandfathered. Isn't that cool? So anyway, when you're buying that house and it's just been recently renovated, you want to get a permit history. If you can see a brand new roof up there, but there's no permit for a roof, put the sellers on the spot to provide a permit for that roof. Now, that may mean that they have to remove the roof and put it back. Somebody, your home inspector, can tell you how many layers of roofing are up there. And if there's more than two layers of roofing, then it wasn't done with permits. They only allow two now. Used to be three. So you want to be sure and pay attention to what it is you're buying. If you see a newly updated kitchen or bathroom, there should be permits, not for the kitchen and bathroom, but for the electrical. Every kitchen update requires a permit for the electrical work. Two dedicated circuits must be in the kitchen. cabinetry doesn't typically require a permit, just the electrical when putting those cabinets in. What about fresh paint, new carpeting, floor coverings? There's no permits required for those kind of things. But what are they covering up? Why would you fix this house if you've got some substandard flooring over in the corner, or cat urine, or worse, dry rot? So you want to walk around, staying close to the edges of the house, and just feel for any soft spots in the floor. Just go back and forth across it. Make sure that you are getting what you think you're getting. Home inspectors are real good at determining some stuff from underneath the house. So when you've got claims under that house to do his home inspection, he may see some things that alarm him. We had one recent project that they had new floor coverings, fresh paint, a brand new roof, but something just didn't seem right. The windows in the bedrooms were, in one bedroom, were 74 inches off the floor. They were very high. Now, you might get by with calling that a den and not a bedroom, but if there's a closet in it, building inspection department probably won't believe you. The other bedrooms were all over 47 inches off the floor, and under current requirements, I hate to say the word code, under current requirements, they can only be 42 inches off the floor. Well, that's to the frame. So if they're 43 and you've got a retrofit window there, they may be okay. So what can you do as a homeowner to protect yourself? See, well, once you get that permit history, you'll learn what has had permits and what hasn't. Your knowledge of the roof being replaced, or kitchen, new kitchen cabinets and so forth, there better be some electric permit and a roofing permit. If there's not, then lay it back on them. Renegotiate the price. Or make them get permits on those things that they should have gotten permits on in the first place. When the clients got their price concession and started to replace the bathroom tile, they didn't like the color of it, so they discovered the tile had been set in place with four small daubs of caulking at each corner, and that's what was securing the tile to the floor. Not even close to the thin-set, properly installed tile should have been used. Turns out the person selling the house as a recently renovated home didn't have a clue as to what it takes to renovate a home. All newly renovated homes are not equal by any means. Buyer beware. Just because it looks newer or all fixed up doesn't necessarily mean that's true. These precautions will go a long way to helping you get the most for your money. So we're running up on a break time again. Please call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the show. We'd love to hear your comments. We'll be right back after this short break.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Love My Renovation Project. We're back with you. Call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the program. Share some of your stories. Your consultants out there, feel free. Get a plug. Big question we have is, particularly from new loan officers, is why does it take so long to close a renovation loan? Well, the short answer is that it doesn't take that long to close a renovation loan. It's all in what you make it out to be. I had one lender call me one loan officer called me every hour wanting to know how's it going, you know. And since I'm working on that particular project, I see a call coming in there. I feel, well, maybe he's got some input, or maybe they're canceling them. You know, there must be something that he's calling for that's so important. So I take the call only to hear him say, well, how's it going? Does it look any different? I mean, you said you would have it in 2 days. Is that still unchanged? You know, that is absolutely ridiculous. I finally apparently insulted him enough that he stopped calling. And he said, well, I don't know that I'm going to use you again. And I said, let's make a pact. Don't ever use me again. I don't have time for you to waste. And then when I asked him, you know, do you got your VOEs, your verification of employment, your verification of income and all that stuff in yet? And he, well, that's my job. And I said, yeah, and your point is? Oh, this stuff's your job. Yeah, give me a chance to do my job without you bugging me. Because I work much better there without that extra added stress that you think seems to help your project. You call me again before the loan is done, and I may just set yours aside and do three in front of it first. And then when I get to it, when you get tired of calling me, then I can get out there and do yours. In any case, it's best that you give everybody on the team a chance to function before you just arbitrarily start assuming they're not doing their job as fast as they can. We all understand the urgency of these loans and how fast you need to get it done to get paid. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't translate that into you need to call the consultant every hour. One of my lenders, where I had told them, suggested to use a consultant that I'd never used before, they called and said, does this guy ever answer your emails or calls? And I said, no, actually, I haven't heard from him since we put him on the job. So isn't that interesting? So you need to run your business as a consultant. Run it as a business. If your client contacts you, I recommend they do it by email so I can answer it in the middle of the night if I want to. But in any case, if I'm working on their project and they have some input, give me an email. I'm in that project. I look at the email and say, okay, well, if this pertains, this doesn't pertain. I can respond to them. You know, typically when we take an order, we provide a acknowledgement when we make the appointment to see the house. We send an acknowledgement out to the lender and say, hey, we've got the appointment. It's set up for Tuesday at 10 a.m. If you want to be there, feel free to join us. Otherwise, it's not necessary. We'll have provided all the reports are there at the time of our inspection, we will have this write-up back to you within 5 days, typically. Now, the reason we do that is not because it takes 5 days. It's because if you give us 5 days, you'll never have to waste a phone call. And we'll never be pulled off the job to answer a silly question like, how's it going? And to me, that's a silly question. It's going as fast as you get your part done. Let the team function. Okay. What happens? I've always looked at the 203K as a team sport. You know, you got the entire team needs to function as a unit, not you get your job done and hand it to the next guy. It's not a tag team. It's not a relay race. We have everybody running down the field at the same time. So if the lender decides it's time to get a contractor bid prior to the consultant inspection, that actually can cause major issues with the timeline. So you have a loan. You haven't told the consultant yet, but you've told the contractor. The consultant's job is to create the scope of work to provide to the contractor so they know what to bid on. But you've just taken that out of order by getting in the way and not letting your team function. So, you know, you've just shot yourself in the foot. Some lenders say, oh, well, if you get the homeowner, you get the contractor's bid first, then all the consultant has to do is copy it. Well, if this is an FHA 203K, you've just forced your consultant to void the guideline, to ignore the guideline. Not a good thing to do. Next time you go to use that consultant, you may find that he's temporarily been removed from the list. Consultant needs to do his job. His job is to create the scope of work with the help of the borrower and then bid the job. So they're bidding that job in advance of the contractor's bid, pull the prices out, send it out to bid to the contractor or contractors. Now, yes, once in a while you get a contractor bid ahead of time because the lender obviously doesn't know what they're doing or feels that they're being helpful. Not necessarily true. Okay, let's see where we are. Contractors typically take from a week to 5 weeks to complete a bid. The consultant does it all in a few days or a week. Rarely does it take more than a week. This throws your closing off. The lender feels better because they didn't start their timeline until after the contractor bid came in. So they look better in the borrower's eyes, in the realtor's eyes, because we got a bid ahead of time. Is it proper? Is it within the guideline? No and no. There is a proper procedure, and it involves the entire team in motion at the same time. We used to call it concurrent timelines. Back in 94, when we first started doing this, the idea was the lender would get somebody pre-qualified, completely ready to loan ready, and then hand the ball to the consultant. The consultant would get in and create a scope of work and bid the project, and then send it out to the contractor for bid. Well, why? Just by using concurrent timelines and letting the lender do their job at the same time the consultant is doing his job and the contractor is doing their job, everybody comes together inside of 2 weeks, and this loan can close. I love this loan officer in Columbia, North Carolina, or South Carolina, who once did her first 203K in 21 days because she let the team function. She let the team function. And she called me and says, Mike, why is everybody saying 45 to 60 days to close a loan like this? And I said, because most aren't like you. Most people in this business want to be every position on the field, and they're constantly calling everybody else while their work is still not completed. Okay, you can't be everything to everybody. Okay, next question that came in this last week was, when is it proper to use a limited 203K versus a standard? Well, if the work is relatively small in nature and there's no structural to be done, it's not going to keep the people from the borrower from moving in the house right away. When it makes sense to use two or three subcontractors. We've actually used two contractors from time to time on a standard 203K. They're putting in a complete septic system. That means it is a standard 203K by itself. That is considered structural. So we're putting that in, but their bid is $38,000. Contractors markup, 10% profit, 10% overhead. You got $35,000. So you got a $7,000 you're tacking on there just to let a general contractor be in charge. And he's not going to do a darn thing on that septic system. So what we do is we, when it comes like that, it sometimes makes sense, and the lender will ask us, can we have two contractors, one to do the septic and one to do everything else? You know, it's something that really should be run by HUD, but we've done it many times, not just one or two, but many times in order to save that extra $7,000 for the borrower. See where we are here. Don't want to get past our little clock. When does it make sense to use a limited? If you're only going to replace the roof, I don't know how many times a realtor gets out there to sell a house and everything is pristine, but the roof is questionable. Are we going to be able to survive this next coming rainy season, or is that roof gone? So why not just replace the roof? You know, you can do that as a limited 203K. You're not changing the structure. You're not changing the shape of it. You're just removing the shingles and putting new shingles. Or you're removing the tile and putting new tile. Something like that. You're removing the modified butamine and replacing it. All of that can be done under the limited 203K. We have another problem. From time to time, if there is no pest report as part of your project or your contract, then you decide to get one anyway, which frankly I think is a good idea. Some lenders construe that or misconstrue that as you must have seen something structural. Therefore, you ordered a structural pest report. So now we want to see this as a floor standard 203K. So that's not necessarily true, but that is the way some interpret it. Okay, lots of confusion with regards to the limited 203K versus the standard. Many lenders only offer the limited 203K and therefore will tell a client that the property doesn't qualify for the program if the required work is too high for their limited 203K. It's false and misleading and very self-centered. They are just trying to keep the loan in their pipeline rather than provide the home buyer with the product they need to complete that purchase of their new home. I see that happen quite often. So in any case, we're up against the break again. We appreciate you hanging with us. And if you want to be part of the show when we come back, call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this last break.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, this is Mike Young. Welcome back to the Love My Renovation Project, where we talk about all things with renovation. If you want to be part of the show, this is your last chance today. Call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. We appreciate your comments and your participation. See, where were we here? What is the biggest issue with limited 203K loans? Well, the biggest issue with any 203K is getting your bid in a timely manner. Now, if you want to know what it's going to cost and you don't have a contractor willing to bid your project, maybe it's too small, you can get a fair price right there on one of our websites. Try going to 203konline.com. That's 203konline.com. And up the upper few links there, one of them says Project Cost Estimator. If you click on that, put in your zip code, and tell us what you want to do to that house, you're going to get a detailed, relatively detailed bid on that work that you put in there. Now, if you put it in wrong, it's not going to do you any good. So you need to put it in there, everything that you want to do to the house. You're going to update the kitchen. You got new cabinets. What quality? How many linear feet? Upper cabinets, lower cabinets, the basin wall cabinets. What kind of countertops? You fill all that in. And when you hit enter, you're going to get an email with a detail of what you just put in there. And it's going to give you a price that is recognized nationally. Any contractor should be willing to do the work for that price or very close to it. It's done by Home Tech Services. They've been providing cost estimation nationally for over 50 years now. So that's hometechpublishing.com. That's where consultants are supposed to be getting their cost figures, at least one of the sources. But your consultant actually helps you create a scope of work. So when you're dealing with a limited 203K, you're going to have to create that scope of work yourself. Now, if you bring out a contractor A, let's say, and say, okay, I want to renovate the kitchen. And his idea of renovating that kitchen might be totally different than contractor 2 or contractor B. Idea of renovating that kitchen. So you need to specify what it is you want. You want painted wood cabinets? Do you want stained wood cabinets? Do you want granite countertops or laminate countertops or soapstone, butcher block? Just you need to write it down. And I recommend that you go to our cost estimator and type it down. Put it in there what you want. You'll have a bona fide bid in front of you. So when your contractor then bids the project, you will already have advanced knowledge of what a fair price is in your zip code. Isn't that cool? Frankly, I do. I think so. And I think it puts you way ahead of the game knowing that in advance. Quite often we're seeing that REO realtors, real estate owned, the realtors that are selling the fixtures, they can go in there and figure out approximately how much is it going to take to fix that bathroom that's busted. New investors, they don't want to hire a contractor right away, or they don't want to get five bids. Well, they can go on and put in their own, get their cost estimate done right there on our website and be way ahead of the game. We had an interesting one a while back where there had been a fire. It took out the house. All that was left was the garage. And the garage was brick on three sides. And the roof of it was the floor of the house above. And that was pretty much untouched. There was a little charring here and there. And then the entire house, the foundation was untouched. The subfloor was still untouched. A small amount of charring here and there, but nothing that would damage the foundation. But the entire subfloor, very little damage. The consultant did their job, but the underwriter went beyond their scope of work. Now, underwriters out there, if you don't want to make that loan, just say so up front, and we'll find another lender. It's not that difficult. But the underwriter decides to call the city, where the city indicated that they would consider this new construction because it was taken down to the subfloor. As far as they're concerned, everything we add to this house now is going to be new construction. Well, that's fair. Then, of course, they tried to kill the deal, and I took the pictures and sent them over to our local HUD office, explained what's going on, and they looked at the pictures and said, well, this is not new construction. This fits the program. And I said, I know that. I understand that, but we have an overzealous underwriter who thinks she knows more than everybody else. So he was kind enough to send me an email, and I forwarded it to them saying that this is a renovation qualified under the 203K program. Let's see. We had another fun one a while back. This has been, oh gosh, at least 10 years ago in Benicia, California. The streets had encroached on the front yards of these houses along this one street, to the point where the front porches stepped right down into the street. There wasn't room for a sidewalk. So what happened is the client wanted to pick the house up and move it back 30 feet on the lot, and the lot was plenty large to do that. It was plenty big enough to do that. And the lender couldn't find it in the guideline where it said you could pick a house and move it somewhere else on the lot. So they rejected it. I said, that's fine. Let's go to a different lender. And, of course, the lender doesn't want that to happen. They said, go find another property. No, we can do this property. So they said, well, if you can get HUD to tell us that it's okay. And then something interesting happened. HUD asked us to get everybody in a room at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning and to call them. And once everybody was in the room, ready to go on a conference call. And that call went like this. The HUD rep said, is the lender rep there? Yes. All interested parties are there. I'm going to say this once and once only. If you disrespect my consultant, you disrespect me. If you disrespect me, I'll pull your ability to make FHA loans in the United States. End of story. Do what the consultant said you can do, and hung up. At that point, the lender got a sheepish grin and said, well, I guess we can do it. The guideline specifically says you can move a house from one lot to another. You have to be smart enough to determine that you can also move your house to a new location on the lot. Everything, every potential scenario is not going to be listed in the guideline. The guideline is already over 800 pages. Anyway, stay in there, hang in there with us. We'll see you next Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. as every Sunday. Look forward to talking to you then. Please join us. Call us at 888-627-6008 next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Bye for now.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now. And let's get your home makeover projects done right.